For the weekend kickoff with Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Big T Terrence. Start your weekend off with all the news on the gridiron, in the cage, and the ring, and anywhere else that sports is happening. The weekend kickoff is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, number one for all your nutrition and supplement needs, with multiple locations around the valley to serve you better. Now, here are the guys to kick off your weekend on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
And good Saturday morning. It is time once again for the weekend kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Ballpark Frank, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Big T Terrence. He's always out wheeling and dealing, making stuff happen. In fact, there will be another opening coming up here in about a week, the 22nd, for a brand new Vegas Discount Nutrition. Then we have the one at the Fashion Show Mall, beginning of November. So lots of stuff going on with Big T, and we wish him well and all of you well as well. How you guys doing?
I'm doing excellent this morning. How you doing, Frank?
I've been a little under the weather, but, you know, no crying in a sports talk radio. So, you know, we just soldier on and do what we need to do.
I got to tell you, it's amazing what 1 week does, right? Last week we were here, I think we were all kicking it in shorts in the morning, and now it's like freezing. Well, Armando still walks in on shorts, but I think you're still numb from last night, but we'll get to that in a second, because there is so much going on. I mean, we've got UFC 204 tonight. Really looking forward to that. We've got some pretty good college football.
Wait. You don't want to talk hockey? You don't want to talk baseball? You don't want to? I mean, really?
Hello. Lips moving. Still talking. So, like I was saying, baseball playoffs yesterday.
We're gonna talk baseball playoffs.
Well, yeah. I mean, we had four games yesterday. Two of them today.
four
games yesterday.
With the exception of the Toronto series, the games have been really good. The baseball games have been very exciting, down to the wire.
Great pitching.
Not knowing what's going on in the games.
The Cubs Giants game last night was phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
Baez hits the home run. Pitchers duel.
You're the one who just sits here and you're like, what, we're not going to talk baseball? And then we start talking and you're like, oh, there was a game?
The Dodgers played in the afternoon. I don't know, but really? The Cubs played last night?
Yeah, and they won 1-0. Eighth inning, home run. It was a hell of a game.
I'm sorry, but I was watching the Boise State game. I could care less.
Speaking of Boise State, we do have some actually really good college games today. I mean, you got Tennessee, Texas A&M. I'm looking forward to that one.
Miami and Florida State, is that going?
That is going. The Gators LSU game has been pulled. It's been canceled. Maybe rescheduled. Maybe not.
Doesn't look like it's going to be, because it looks like Florida wants no part of that game. LSU has given them three different options, from what I understand. And Florida's AD has basically said none of them work for us, so they're just going to cancel it. Which to me says, for whatever reason, Florida's afraid to play LSU this year. They don't want it. They didn't want to go there. They didn't want to play at a neutral site. They didn't want to play at a different week. Now, both teams do have different bye weeks, but they both have a week in there where I think one of them has a bye and one plays a really cupcake, a weak sister, so they could buy that game out. But Florida apparently doesn't want any part of that game, so I don't understand that. An SEC game with two teams that are both probably going to be bowling, you know, that could depend on the size or the bowl that you get into. I think it's really chicken, you know what, on Florida's part.
And of all the times to not want to play LSU, I mean, this is the time to play them.
Yeah, without a doubt. They're down, and they're right now, who knows who the coach is. There's definitely leadership questions there, so I would think you'd want to play them too. And their big star player, Fournette, who knows what's going on with him, with the injury and everything. So, but for whatever reason, Florida has said, nope, that doesn't work, nope, well, we probably just won't play it.
Is there rules that maybe they can reschedule with some other game, with some other team, or no? Is it you cannot?
They can buy a team out and say, look, we're going to give you the money that you would have got from this, and we're going to play this game instead. They can do that with some of the weaker teams. Okay. Michigan's done it before. Other teams have done it. I mean, it happens. It's not frequent in college football, but it does happen.
I don't remember it happening.
But for whatever reason, LSU just doesn't. Well, you remember when Michigan years ago lost to Appalachian State?
Yes, I remember that.
They actually bought out a game against somebody else to bring them in for an easier mark for them and sell out the big house. And
are you serious?
Yes, it's didn't work
the
out
money,
very
son.
Well for them.
Stop smiling there, Frank. Why are you grinning from ear to ear, Frank?
Why do you think I remember it so well? It's one of the greatest things that ever happened in college football. You know, when everybody that should be in the big house goes to the big house and loses. So.
Well, actually, I'm looking forward to today, Notre Dame and NC State. That should be a good game. You know, Notre Dame, clearly not what they should be this year. I've always been a fan of the Wolfpack, so I'm looking forward to that game. But most of all, obviously, Alabama and Arkansas. That game's going to be...
Alabama!
Yeah, that's going to be a good game. And this is starts a tough road for Alabama. These next, like, four games are going to be really tough. So I'm looking forward to see what they're made of. And Arkansas always plays them tough.
Yeah, they do. The one thing that I wish that Nick Saban would quit saying, and he never will, well, you know, here in the SEC, every week we got a tough opponent, you know, now we got Arkansas. Now, really, did you see the first week of the season when like seven of your teams lost and Tennessee would have? Just because ESPN and Fox Sports and all the networks say that the SEC is the best conference out there. Yeah, Alabama is a dynasty and a tremendous team, and they're playing for a national championship pretty much every year. But the whole conference is not absolutely stellar and great. You have some crappy teams there, Nick, so quit making it sound like every single time that you play somebody, you're playing the old 85 Bears or the you know, the Steel Curtain from Pittsburgh or something like that. You have some really crappy teams in the SEC, and you proved it week one.
Yeah, speaking of crappy teams, last night, Armando, Boise State.
Yes.
Yeah, they had a pretty good game, huh?
They had a sensational game. Thank you very much. It's it was a revenge game. Let me tell you, I'm still trying to figure out how New Mexico beat them on the blue last year. So I was very happy that, you know, by the third quarter all the regulars were pulled and it was a nice, easy going night.
Did you have a lot of beers last night during the game? Because I have to be surprised. I was a little taken back when I walked into the studio this morning and you were here. Normally you're running in as the music's hitting, but you were here prepared this morning.
I told you. Last week was just something that, because I was away and I was didn't get my normal sleep cycle.
And the Boise State was early enough that he had the beers and then he passed out before the fourth quarter, so then he got a little bit of rest because of that. So.
I missed the Boise State game last night. I missed the Boise State game last night because I was watching the World Series of Fighting. The World Series of Fighting actually had an event last night.
And, I didn't see the Boise State game, but I didn't miss it whatsoever. But I also was watching the World Series of Fighting myself some of that. So
once I heard the main event was canceled, I didn't care.
Well, actually,
Paul Harris does not interest me whatsoever.
The co-main event, who'd you say doesn't interest
Paul
you?
Paul Harris? I don't know.
Paul Harris?
No, Paul Harris, whatever.
David Branch was the guy who fought in the main event.
Paul
Harris. David Branch fought Vinny Magliese.
Who the hell is Paul Harris? Is he running on one of the third party tickets for president or something?
Paul Harris is actually, it's a kind of an inside joke with MMA because there was, Frank, I'm sure you remember, Husimar Palleres.
Yes, no, I kind of figured out that's who he was talking about. But see, here's one of the things, and Armando's been doing radio long enough, and we all have. When you do inside jokes to the people in the studio, all the people listening don't know what the hell you're talking about, and they miss the joke.
That's okay, but me and him are laughing.
Yeah, but the people are going, what else is on the dial? So keep it dialed into what
they can
relate to.
Scratching his head.
When I
Who the hell is Paul Harris, and why is Armando talking about him?
Right now they're Googling him and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And it actually goes back to their years ago, Mike Goldberg, obviously. You know, Mike Goldberg gets a lot of hate on social media. And in all honesty, unfortunately, every UFC announcer does that's not Joe Rogan. And Joe Rogan, he's been getting a lot of hate lately, too. But Goldie used to be like, and Paul Harris is coming. Who is Paul Harris? It's Paul Harris. He just doesn't know how to say the last name. So, but anyway, David Branch last night, he took a unanimous decision over Vinny Magliese, which I have to admit, man, Vinny showed heart because that second round, David Branch went to town. I mean, he dropped Vinny with a nasty left hook and did not let up, didn't give Vinny a chance.
He did let up in one sense, because when Vinny was down there and he said, come on down, he was like,
Hell no.
I mean, he looked at him and he was like, no. I'm whooping you on the feet. There is no way in hell I'm going down there to give you a shot in this fight. Get back up and take your beating, son, youngster.
Yeah, and he did. And, you know, Vinny, I got to say, he weathered the storm. It towards the end of the fight, it got a little rough. Branch kind of died out, and Vinny had nothing left either. But, you know, much respect to Vinny. He stayed in there. I thought it was going to be over after the second round. Event overall was good. What was that?
No, let's a few seconds here on Gaethje's, on why his fight was called off.
I don't know. It was his opponent. His opponent couldn't make it.
No, I mean, he got sent to the hospital.
Yeah,
he had IVs, and now, just out of curiosity, I mean, BJ Penn got suspended for using an IV after practice one time. I mean, is this something that they should be looking at? That maybe they should allow IVs after, you know?
No, they should not allow fighters to cut as much weight as they do.
Well, okay.
That's what this is about. I mean, listen. Yeah, they
because we had
they
one guy one fight lost at
with
the UFC.
Yeah, yes, and Whistle can't fight tonight because of that, and that is something that I think they need to look into. But not they've already tried the IVs and it works. But the thing is these people should not be just cutting the way they are. You're dropping so much weight. It's not healthy.
And they've made it easier for him by letting him do it in the morning now. That's why Bisbane, he did it in the morning, and he was already gained like almost 20 pounds back by the time the evening came. Weighs in at 185. He's standing on the scale like 203.5 or whatever it was that they show him there. But, yeah, Ian, I mean, they said that he was blacking out. They had to rush him to the hospital. He couldn't even make it to the scale. Then he still wanted to try to fight, and they were like, no. There's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah, remember when Anthony Johnson was first cut from the UFC for the Vitor Belfort fight down in Brazil? I think it was UFC 93 or 94. It wasn't that far back. But it was one of those events down in Brazil, and he couldn't make the 185 weight limit, and at 200 and something pounds, he had to stop. The guy was eating ice. He couldn't do anything, and he was cut. Now, I mean, last week, we had John Lineker, who for the fifth time has missed weight, and I don't understand. I mean, after the fight, which, by the way, wait, what did you think of the Lineker-Dodson fight? It was a little interesting there.
Well, as you know, I sent you guys a text right after it saying, interesting decision. In case you were doing something else, I didn't want to give it away.
Unlike Armando,
what
he does, the way he drops
things. You need to stop thinking of him as... Just
no, I try to think of other people. That's why I'm a blood donor. Even though I can't stand people, I still try to save them. I don't understand why.
I don't understand that either.
Well, you know, it's whatever.
It's 24 hours later. If you hadn't seen it, it's your fault.
See, here's what happened. Last week, I went to the WWE event at the Thomas
and
Max Center.
And I knew that because you had said that you were going to be going
there. And Frank
was
polite enough to send that text saying, interesting decision, not giving me the winner. And then I get home.
And I didn't even say what fight it was, so you didn't even know if it was the title fight that
I
won.
I hadn't watched. I did not watch the event, actually. It took me about 3 days to watch with everything. Whose
fault is that?
All the other stupid stuff I watch on TV. It took me forever to actually get to it.
Exactly.
And I honestly think I did not finish the event until Thursday. I watched the Dodson-Lineker fight.
Killing
but I
me.
Fought, saw every other fight. It was a couple of nights, a couple of fights each night leading up to it. But I knew the result of one of the fights because of you.
That's a lie. You knew the results of all the fights.
Nope, I stayed off of every social media site till. I did.
You did
I
not did, stay
I,
off
I
of social
did not
media from
look at
Monday
social,
to Thursday. You
I
didn't.
Did not
Stop.
Look. Well, I didn't have to stay off that long because you ruined it for me.
No, now, but Will, I was, you went DX on
no, stop, stop.
But that was Cowboy.
Yeah, it was Cowboy against Will Brooks, which that was a brutal loss there, and Brooks not happy.
And you know,
at
least
all.
Cowboy, you mentioned Lineker, he missed weight by half a pound. Cowboy missed weight, and he said, "The hell with it, I'm going to try to make this thing. I'm going with a weight advantage," and he used it for everything it was worth in that fight.
And then is completely disrespectful after the fight.
He's
like, he said disrespectful stuff about me. You disrespected him more than anything by showing up without making weight. That is the most disrespectful thing in professional fighting. And when you had Lineker afterwards saying, give me a title shot. I deserve a title shot against Dominic Cruz. This is my... Dude, you can't even make weight. Do you think the UFC is actually going to book you in a title shot when they're going to have to rely on you making weight? Because if with a title shot, you don't get that pound allowance.
Right.
You must make weight. You don't get... There's no...
Yeah, so for the title shot, he would have been a pound and a half over.
Uh-huh. Which would have no longer been a title shot. Event would have changed.
Give me a title shot, and then we'll still fight. It won't actually be for the title anymore, and he'll get 20% of my purse. But it'll be a bigger payday for me either way.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. But it's been a weird week for MMA. It's actually, unfortunately, it's been a sad week, too. Last week, we did mention Josh Simon being found unresponsive, and Unfortunately, we got the sad news that on Wednesday he did pass away. And that actually, I mean, think about it. 2016 is a rough year for MMA fighters. I mean, Josh Simon, Kimbo Slice, Ryan Jimmo, Jordan Parsons. I mean, all of these guys lost way before their time. Rough, rough week for sure.
It's been a rough year for sports in general and sure. for the entertainment business. And maybe it's just with social media and everything. Now we hear about everything so much more and it's blowing up. But it does seem like there's been just an unbelievable number. And considering that we still have like a quarter of the year to go.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. It's sad too, but you know, I do wish Josh's family the best and all of his friends. Definitely a sad time for them, and I know that they are doing a public celebration for him. But also, really quickly, I know we do have to go to break. I'm saying weird week with the UFC. BJ Penn, the other day, was announced that he had to pull out of his fight with Ricardo Lamas next weekend.
So the whole card is pulled.
The whole card is pulled, but have you heard why? There's rumors going around as to the government in the Philippines, their current leader, so to say, is very, very strict on the drug policy. And they have been, I mean, there have been people executed. Got a dime bag? Here's a bullet to the head.
Well, have you heard some of the things that he's done over there?
Yeah, yeah.
He has literally told people, if there's drug dealers in your neighborhood and you see them on the street, feel free to eliminate them. Mm-hmm. He's basically put a hit on drug dealers. There have been drug dealers turning themselves into the police over there because for fear of the general public just beating the hell out of them and literally killing them in the middle of the street. And it's endorsed by the leader.
Scary. Absolutely scary.
Yeah, we
who
think,
wants to go there?
We think
not
the,
me.
We think the candidates we have in this country are kind of off their rocker.
Kind of, Frank? Kind of? No, well, they are.
Now, see, here's where it gets weird. Because the government apparently issued a statement to the UFC, and they said, we're going to do some drug testing. But not just the fighters. Everybody. Everybody from your head honchos down to the guy who puts the cage together. You're all getting drug tested. And
that also means, like, if somebody comes in, like, if you have somebody in your corner, they're getting tested.
Absolutely. Well, that's part of their actual rules of the commission, that if you're working someone's corner, you must be drug tested. So, but they're saying,
that's not a problem with that.
No, I agree with that. That shouldn't be an issue. But the fact that you're going to sit there and let's just say Mark Ratner, and I'm not saying Mark Ratner is sitting outside smoking doobies right now and he's scared of getting drug tested, but Mark Ratner, vice president of regulatory affairs for the UFC, they can say, hey, you work for the UFC, you're here, we want you drug tested. And they have the right, apparently, to confiscate passports if tests are failed.
Yeah, I know. I saw they said that. Anybody that tests positive, they're immediately confiscating their passport.
That's absolutely insane.
It is. I mean, seems illegal, but I guess when it's your country, you make your own laws. I guess that means you guys won't be seeing a WWE event over there anytime soon.
No, we will not.
No, we will not. So, but I think, yeah, that's crazy. Next weekend's UFC event in the Philippines has been, they're saying, postponed. But, yeah it looks like it's canceled.
Yeah, it's postponed, kind of like the LSU-Florida football game is postponed. And we're not postponed, but we do have to step aside and take a break here. You are listening to the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Three locations in town, another one opening up the 22nd, and then another one right after that, November the 1st. Several locations to serve you better, all your nutrition and supplement needs. When we come back, we're going to take a look at what's going on. Week 5 of the NFL, maybe a little college football, lots more to get to. Stick around.
Vegas Discount Nutrition are the premier nutrition stores in Las Vegas. All of our superstores carry vitamins, supplements, proteins, and weight loss health food for all your supplement needs at below online and wholesale pricing. Vegas Discount Nutrition is the only wholesale outlet in the state, providing a massive $1 million inventory for you to choose from, all at 30 to 60% off retail prices. Our three superstores are the highest rated and most reviewed nutrition stores in the USA, according to Yelp and Facebook. The entire Vegas Discount Nutrition staff are certified nutritionists, knowledgeable, and friendly. friendly. They will help you with all your health, fitness, and supplement needs. If you're looking to lose weight, gain muscle, or just maintain a healthy body, come and see why all the professional athletes and entertainers shop here. Our number one goal is your 100% complete satisfaction. Stop in today to get your free samples and see why we are rated the number one nutrition stores in the USA. Visit any one of Vegas Discount Nutrition's three convenient superstore locations, Eastern and Silverado Ranch, 215 in Flamingo, or 215 in North Decatur.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Three locations, a fourth one opening up on the 22nd, then another one in the Fashion Show Mall November the 1st. Several locations to serve you better for all your nutrition and supplement needs. And guys, before we get into week five here, the game's coming up. There is one game already over. One of Armando's teams or former team, I can't even keep up with what the hell he's doing these days.
I still just don't understand
it. But, yeah, the 49ers and what's going on with them or what's not going on with them. Now we hear all sorts of rumors about Colin Kaepernick that he might be getting the start, although Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk was saying they don't want to put him in a game because if he gets injured, then they have to pay him $60 million for next year. So there's a lot of things going on here. But
I read somewhere on the ticker yesterday that supposedly he restructured his contract?
And so now maybe he'll actually hit the field and get a little bit of playing time.
Which I think you have to. I think you have to put him in now. You have another viable option at quarterback. And, I mean, Blaine Gabbert he's horrible.
Well, he makes bad decisions.
It's horrible.
He can't hit wide open receivers, and he throws just really costly interceptions. I like how after the game he says that, that he let his teammates down. You think? Really? Well, thanks for at least a touch of honesty.
Well, speaking of, what's with, like, Phil Simms and Steve Young praising the hell out of him? Like, I mean, during the game, Simms is talking him up like he's doing something productive.
Maybe they went to the John Gruden school of broadcasting where every Monday night, who's ever playing is this quarterback's the greatest thing in the world. This running back is a Hall of Famer. This guy's going to be, oh, look at what he's doing. Everything he does is right. Look, we're already tuned into the game. Don't sell us on it, okay? But I'm not growing a garden. I don't need your fertilizer.
Yeah. I mean, listen. Well said. And you got to think Armando, you mentioned the fact that it should have been a win. You got Stanton in there with Palmer out. But Larry Fitzgerald, these two guys, what a tag team, really. I mean, and I'm actually lucky because in one of my fantasy leagues, I have the two of them.
You
have
both of them?
I have both of them in one of my fantasy leagues. So they did me wonders the other night.
Well, and it was nice to see, if you're a Cardinal fan, that the defense finally came to play as well. I'm not really sure that Stanton right now, with the way Carson Palmer's been playing, is that big of a drop-off. He does know the system, and Carson Palmer has not exactly been lighting it up.
No, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's been a rough year. And we've talked about that, where quarterbacks get old overnight. And Palmer had a great year last year. I mean, it was one of his better years as of the past, because I thought he was done years ago. And then he had a resurgence, but he's not looking good this year at all. And probably keep Stanton in there.
And let's be honest about it. It was 2-1-3 teams going at it, so not ready to put either one of them in the playoffs. But I am willing to write off the 49ers.
And actually, speaking of that, I want to talk to you about Mr. Brian Hoyer. Bears picked up a win last week, and
what?
Yeah, Bears picked up a win last week, and Fox said
is good for something.
Hey, you know, listen, when you have a quarterback playing that well, and I mean, I'm not saying he was great, but 28-36, 302 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he managed the game well. You keep him in.
Well,
if Cutler's
to keep
ready,
him in.
Even when he's ready, you keep him in.
The thing about Cutler, and I've said it for years and years, Cutler has a $100 million arm, but he's got a 10-cent brain to go with it. He makes bad decisions at crucial times when he turns the ball over, especially in the red zone, and finds ways to lose games. If their defense can get healthy, because I don't care who you are, when you have 6 defensive starters out, it's a horrible thing for a football team. But if they can mature and grow a little bit, they can be a decent team. They're not going to compete with Minnesota or Green Bay for this division here, but they can have little victories and build forward. I do believe Fox will make the defense better, and at this point, I do think Hoyer gives them a better chance to win at quarterback, because Cutler just does stupid things constantly.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they got a pretty good chance of winning this week. I mean, they do travel to Indianapolis.
Yeah, Indy's not good at all.
Indy's not good at all. But what about Indy getting no bye week after going to London. I mean, that's rough. They went to London last week and lost a heartbreaker to Jacksonville, which, by the way, Jacksonville won, the Saints won, both off this week. But now that leaves, there's only one team with zero wins. One team out there with zero wins, 0-4, the Cleveland Browns. And who do they have this week? Tom Brady is back, and they have to face Tom Brady. Oh. And I got some more bad news for the Browns. Bill Belichick is mad.
Why is he mad?
Did you see the game last week? Shut out by the Bills? And he took some serious anger out on that Microsoft Touch thing. Yeah, he threw that iPad.
Well, and not only is he mad because they got shut out, he's also mad because they lost to Buffalo and to Rex Ryan.
Yep.
He doesn't like that. And Brady has been chomping at the bit. Meanwhile, while they're losing that game, they're showing footage of Brady at some high school football field playing catch with somebody, and he just looks like he's raring to go.
Would not
surprise me if this weekend he throws 6 touchdowns or something like that, because this guy wants to get in there badly.
Oh, yeah, and we'll probably see many Gronk sightings this weekend with Brady back. And yeah, this is just every game for the rest of the season is just a big, like, you know, up yours, Roger Goodell, from the Patriots. But what if? What if the Browns win tomorrow?
That would be so awesome.
Wouldn't it? Because like I said last week, man, I am rooting for these guys. They're 0-4, but I think they are a decent 0-4 team. You've got a hell of a run game with Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell. You've got Terrell Pryor, who, I mean, he's looked good.
I said in college he should have gone to wide receiver. He was never going to be an NFL quarterback. He's got size. He's got good hands. He can run over people, and he runs like the wind. This guy should have, when he came out, he should have been drafted, and whoever drafted him should have said, look, we're switching you to wide receiver right off the bat, like an Antoine Randall L or something like that, only with more size and speed.
Yeah.
Well said.
There's a lot of good games, actually. You mentioned Armando last night, Boise State being a revenge game. Tonight, UFC 204 is clearly a revenge bout with Michael Bisping and Dan Henderson, but also a little revenge game for Jim Schwartz, Philly defensive coordinator, going back to Detroit. And, dude, the Eagles are good this year. The Eagles are good, and not only are the Eagles good, because we've gotten a lot out of Carson Wentz that we didn't expect. Sproles still got it, but the Eagles' D has allowed an average of, now in 3 games, 6.7 points per game. That's it. If they keep that up.
We always knew the Eagles had a defense. What we didn't realize that their quarterback play was going to be exemplary. I mean, am I saying that correctly? I mean, where did Carson Wentz, I mean, is he not a rookie?
Well, he's a rookie from North Dakota State. So he goes to a small school, which, by the way, North Dakota State is still a great team even without him, which says something about the program they have there. But coming with playing the competition that he plays in all the time, one of the questions about him was, how would he be on the big stage with better competition? Dak Prescott's been very good. Simeon's been good. We'll see what happens with Paxton Lynch. There's a lot of young quarterbacks out there. He looks the most poised and ready and calm of any of the youngsters out there. It's just really going to show that you don't have to go to one of the big five schools or something like that. Go someplace, get some playing time, get that pocket presence and everything. Carson Wentz has been an absolute stud on the field. I know he made my Bears look like crap in week 2. I'm glad that game's well over with. We won't see them again this year because we're not going to the playoffs, so you can't get us twice.
And now they have the chance to make the Lions.
He made look
bad. The Bears made the Lions look bad last week.
They definitely did.
The Bears looked, the Lions looked horrible last week.
And did you see everybody jumping on the Carson Wentz bandwagon? Joe Biden is jumping on it. Now Chelsea Clinton bought a Carson Wentz shirt. It's like, what? Now everybody's on Carson. They didn't even know who this kid was when he was drafted, these people that are now on his bandwagon. But,
and you bring up Lynch. We're probably going to see him tomorrow because Simeon's not playing, is he? I think Simeon's out.
He's questionable.
I heard as of last night, out. Yeah.
Well, they might be saying he's out now so that they don't have to officially say that, sorry, you've been beat out by Paxton. We know Paxton Lynch is the quarterback of the future there, and they want to get him in there. So, and this is another kid who, you know, it's funny how everybody talked about Jared Goff in the offseason and getting ready for the rookies and that kind of stuff. He's a guy that can't make a field on a team that's not very good, and all these other guys are going out there, and they're having stellar rookie seasons or early seasons.
Yeah, I remember. I think it was Steve Mariucci in the beginning of the season. They made all their bold predictions about what was going to happen this year, and he said that rookie quarterbacks this year were going to have. There was going to be one of them that would have more wins than they all did last year, and it looks like he's that. It could be. I don't know if it's going to be Wentz. I don't know if it's going to be Prescott, who it's going to be. But he's definitely on the road to the right prediction right there. And, you know, talk about Semien. Last week, Atlanta Falcons, wow. Wow.
They are just lighting it up.
Julio Jones last week, 12 catches for 300 yards. Matt Ryan over 500 yards.
And here's the thing about it. They did it outdoors. We're used to them doing that in an indoor stadium. Normally, Matty Ice is not that great in the outdoors where there's wind and other elements going on. If they have that figured out as well, they don't have the greatest defense. I'm really curious to see that game this week in Mile High because Denver's defense, I think Denver and Minnesota may be the two best defenses in the NFL.
Oh, absolutely.
There's some other decent ones as well, but this will be the test to see maybe the best defense or one of certainly the best defenses in the NFL against right now the highest-powered offense in the league. I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, Broncos D is second this year in sacks, third in interceptions. They're forced three fumbles already, three fumble recoveries. They are ridiculous. And Minnesota's defense is absolutely insane. You know, you talk about a great defense with Denver. In four games, Minnesota has five interceptions. The Vikings have six interceptions in four games. And they're taking on Brock Osweiler, a guy who has more interceptions than he does touchdowns this year. So look for Minnesota to have quite a few.
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing?
And Brock might add to that list of interceptions there as well in this game.
Oh, absolutely.
You think?
Wait, speaking of interceptions, I got two words for you. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, 11 interceptions on the year, 10.
That's
10 in the last two games.
Six of them was in one game. Come on.
You know,
he shouldn't have cut that hair.
Maybe you're right.
When he was first drafted, I remember, we talked to a guy down in Florida that you had hooked us up with down in the Miami area. When he was drafted, the first thing, this guy's not even a quarterback yet. He's still learning the position. I didn't say that they shouldn't have drafted him, but I thought he was overdrafted way too high because he was a great athlete. That doesn't mean that you're a great quarterback. Right now, as far as a football player goes, he might be like Terrell Pryor. Maybe he should go back to wide receiver because he's not getting it done at the QB position at all.
What do you think, speaking of wide receiver, what do you think Brandon Marshall is thinking now about his proposed bet to Antonio Brown as to who would have more yards this year? Wants to take that one back pretty quick.
Well, Brandon Marshall has been known to have some mental problems in the past, and maybe that's just another sign that they're not all completely cured.
You know, when I saw him on Inside the NFL last year, and I saw him in that one of those first segments just laying down on the bed, talking, you know, like, so relaxed, I was like, man, Marshall has got his act together. He must have seen some sort of sports psychologist, or he's going to a therapist. This guy's got his stuff together. No, man.
See, now when I saw him, because I saw him with the Bears for enough seasons, the first thing I thought was, he's got a little chemical help here to relax him a little bit, and now what kind of crazy things is going to come out of his mouth? Then in my mind, at least, that assessment was kind of like, okay, yeah, I think I might have been right here.
Yeah, I'm used to crazy things coming out of Armando's mouth, but Brandon, speaking of which, crazy things. Mondo, a couple of weeks ago, there was something you said to me. What was it? Oh, yeah. The Raiders suck. That's what you said to me. The 3-1 Raiders suck, right?
Right.
Right. Right. Explain yourself. Because they don't.
They've been playing bad teams. They beat the 1-3 Saints.
They went on the road last weekend, and they beat the Baltimore Ravens.
Who were undefeated, I believe.
Yeah. So,
who has not beaten anybody.
Tell me again the Raiders are horrible.
The Ravens, what do the Ravens have? It's nothing.
I think they've got an elite team. I think they've got a pretty good
team.
They got a pretty good quarterback.
It's not.
They've got
Quit
a pretty good quarterback
the
in Falco.
Out to be what
Steve
not.
Smith Sr. is still an absolute monster, and Terrence West has been running the ball really well. So, the Baltimore Ravens are good. The Raiders are better, and you need to check yourself this year.
No. Stop. Stop.
And they're taking on the one and three Chargers this week. So I think the Raiders
pulling away. And I think the Chargers are better. They just can't seem to win a game.
The Chargers are awful.
The Chargers definitely find new ways to lose
every week.
How could they be blowing people out and lose at the end? I mean, didn't it happen twice already this season?
I believe it's happened three times. Where they've lost the game like in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah,
Last week, they
are a great first three-quarter team.
Oh, wait a second. We're winning the game? Here, take the ball. Wait, that one score didn't do it enough? We'll take it a second time. We're going to give you another opportunity. Come on. Please, please. We can't stand prosperity here. We don't even know if we're staying down here in San Diego. So, you know, until we figure out what the hell's going on with our organization, just take the W from us. Just take it away.
Now, the 3-1 Los Angeles Rams. I should be jumping for joy, going crazy, thinking that they're the best in the NFL. They're not.
You're right. They're not.
Same thing with the Raiders. Stop.
I know.
Don't get delusional.
Did I say that they were the best in the NFL?
I did not.
No, I didn't say that. I just said they don't suck.
Look, the Rams should not have a 3-1 record, but they do. The Raiders should not have a 3-1 record. So stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
I think the Raiders are going to be 4-1 after tomorrow, and I'm looking at the Rams being 3-2.
And again,
and I'm saying the Rams are going to be 3-2, and I have no faith whatsoever in the Bills, and I think the Bills are going to travel west and win.
I think it's good. They're going to have a hangover from last week, and they're going to lose.
As the mediator of this debate here, he did not say that anything. He just said they didn't suck. And you got to give them that. They're 3-1. They haven't sucked so far.
I think
I'm not impressed.
Look at this.
Well, you don't have to be impressed.
Crabtree, you don't have to be impressed.
Hey, I love Crabtree because he's my receiver.
Came to life last week, 3 touchdowns. Okay, Amari Cooper, not doing what we thought this year, but still
nowhere
a hell of a receiver. And Carr. I mean, he is just doing everything he needs to get the job done. The defense, yeah, I remember that was your reason. The defense stinks. That's why they're a horrible team. But you know what? But the offense is keeping them in the games. And I think the offense, unlike the Saints defense, which is guaranteed to blow it every week, which I was so surprised they didn't last week.
Me too.
But I think the Raiders are making the strides they need. And besides Denver, what else you got in that division?
And let's remember this too. In this day and age of mediocrity and parity, there's a lot of just average so-so teams. We don't have a lot of super great teams anymore. We don't have the dynasty-type teams out there. So the Raiders they might be on the lower end of that, but they're a mid-level, building up, trying to make a better team out there. They don't suck. There's just a lot of teams that are really mediocre in this day and age.
Well said, well said.
Sunday night game, tomorrow night, Giants and Packers.
Is anyone going to be watching?
I think there's going to
be. With the debate. No, I mean because of the debate. The debate last time had the numbers of a Super Bowl.
I didn't know there was the debate.
I'm more interested in Odell Beckham Jr. right now. I want to see what's going on. I mean, this guy now saying, I don't have fun anymore. I mean, you are a millionaire.
You're paid
to play a game.
When you come out and you say, I'm tired of all this other stuff going on in the field and that kind of stuff, you have just told everybody they're getting in your head and getting you off your game plan. Every single person out there is going to become Norman.
They're all going to get in your head.
They are going to do everything they can in their power to get you off your game, make you drop passes and make you look at them and throw your little hands and try to hit them and beat them up or something like that. The last thing you want to do is give the opposition the ammunition to know what gets under your skin, and that's exactly what he's done. Every defensive coordinator out there is going to go, when you go out there against him, smack him upside the head. Kick him in the shin. Do whatever you want
to. Make him cry.
Just make him think about anything but catching the ball. We win.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. He's self-destructing. He really is on the field.
I mean, I hate that he did this right before the Packer game. Couldn't he have been a little crybaby afterwards? Now the Packers have an advantage, and they don't even need one on the not-frozen tundra.
Right, come on. Hey, wait, hold on. I heard you do a lot of radio this week. I actually heard you pick the Packers this week.
Because of the way the Giants are playing and because it's in Green Bay and the fact that they have to try to keep pace with the Vikings? Yes, I did. Just picking for picks, I would not bet on them, and I hope to hell that I am 100% wrong on the picks. But if I'm being honest about picks, yes, I think the Packers win this game. I think they win it easily.
I dropped my paperwork at work when he was talking well of the Packers.
I wasn't talking well of them. I was just I don't know if it's so well of the Packers or my disregard for what the Giants are doing right now. But
they're bad.
No, I mean, I think the Packers win this game, and I think they win it kind of handily.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, and it's not like Eli's not putting up horrible numbers. I mean, he's spreading the ball out. It's just that they've got a lot. I mean, Shepard, I mean, he's good rookie. Cruz is back. I mean, he's spreading the ball out. And Odell Beckham, he wants to be that star. And, you know, and all of the stuff he pulled.
Throw
in
it to Victor Cruz.
He pulled all that stuff in the offseason, you know, like, follow me, paparazzi all over the place. I'm this big, you know. It's not what it's about. You know, I don't know if there's a difference right now between Odell Beckham, the player, and Odell Beckham, the star. Because it's that outside celebrity that, you know, you're seeing him all over the place, all the commercials. And that for every year, that's the downfall of a player.
Well, we know that he uses an awful lot of hair dye. And I think he's used too much because it's obviously soaked right through the scalp and going into his brain.
I want you to picture this, okay? When you get that stuff done to your hair, they put, like, tinfoil, and they wrap your hair in tinfoil, and then they put you under the light, and you sit under the lamp. Can you picture you walking into a salon, and there's Odell Beckham underneath the hair thing, you know, all these highlights in his hair, probably scrubbing his nails, reading People magazine. I just don't picture it.
Well, I doubt that he'd be reading the playbook, so I don't know what he's reading, but I don't know. Odell Beckham, don't tell the opposition, I'm tired of all this stuff, the extracurriculars on the field. Oh, you're tired of it? All right, guys, even more extracurriculars on the field. Get him out of his game.
Cordell Stewart, I'll remember him for one reason. He's a crybaby. Odell Beckham? The crybaby.
I remember Cordell Stewart for some other reasons as well.
Oh, stop. All right. At least Beckham's not shooting himself. Just yet.
Yeah, well, it might help the team at this point.
Hasn't cheddar bobbed yet, but he will.
Well, no, he could not. He couldn't shoot himself right now because he dropped the gun. All right, it is the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. When we come back, we mentioned there's a UFC card tonight. We'll dive into that a little bit as well. Does anybody care about this main event? Some people don't like it. I am excited about it, but I'll tell you what, I think I might be more excited for the co-main event on the card. We'll get around to that and a lot more.
Vegas Discount Nutrition are the premier nutrition stores in Las Vegas. All of our superstores carry vitamins, supplements, proteins, and weight loss health food for all your supplement needs at below online and wholesale pricing. Vegas Discount Nutrition is the only wholesale outlet in the state, providing a massive $1 million inventory for you to choose from, all at 30 to 60% off retail prices. Our three superstores are the highest rated and most reviewed nutrition stores in the USA, according to Yelp and Facebook. The entire Vegas Discount Nutrition staff are certified nutritionist, knowledgeable, and friendly. They will help you with all your health, fitness, and supplement needs. If you're looking to lose weight, gain muscle, or just maintain a healthy body, come and see why all the professional athletes and entertainers shop here. Our number one goal is your 100% complete satisfaction. Stop in today to get your free samples and see why we are rated the number one nutrition stores in the USA. Visit any one of Vegas Discount Nutrition's three convenient superstore locations, Eastern and Silverado Ranch, 215 and Flamingo, or 215 in North Decatur.
Welcome back. Final go around here. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. It is the Weekend Kickoff brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Ballpark Frank, Armando Vasquez, Phil Devine in the house. And guys, we got a fight card going on tonight. Is it a rematch? Is it a grudge match? Is it a fight that should happen? Does Henderson deserve this? I think it's an interesting fight. I want to see it. I was right almost cage side the first time this thing happened. I was never a big fan of Bisbane, although every time I've met him, the guy's been super nice to me, and he's been professional signing autographs and all that. But I like Dan Henderson. Hendo is one of those guys you almost have to like. You know, he's a guy's guy kind of guy out there. I don't mind seeing this fight. The one thing that I almost want to see, and I don't know what your guys' thoughts on it, I'd like to see Henderson knock him out again. Then he's going to retire, and then what do we have? We have a tournament or something to decide? Because he's probably going to retire if he wins tonight. Well, win or lose, this is probably it.
That's the interesting thing, is I was really surprised that the UFC booked this fight, because first things first, you talk about, does Dan Henderson deserve the fight? Based on your resume, Dan Henderson he deserves anything he asks for.
Yes.
If Dan Henderson wants a title fight, you give him a title fight based on his resume. Well, the guy is Strikeforce champion, Pride champion, in two weight classes.
Yeah, would you still believe that if Luke Rockhold was still the champion? Would you like to see Rockhold Henderson?
Listen, see, here's the thing. Based off of resume, Dan Henderson deserves anything he wants.
Okay.
Based off of stats, based off of what you've done now, Dan Henderson does not deserve this fight.
No.
If Brock Lesnar can walk into the UFC and get any fight that he wants to, then Dan Henderson, who's a legitimate MMA fighter that he's done his entire life, then he should be able to call a shot like this as well.
The dude is 46 years old. I mean, and it's interesting because you mentioned the co-main event in Vitor Belfort. Vitor Belfort made his UFC debut at UFC 12. He won the UFC 12 heavyweight tournament. Dan Henderson won the UFC 17 tournament. And I remember it was Carlos Newton in the finals. This is a guy who has traveled the world. He has fought the best of the best and has usually prevailed. However, he is 46 years old, and age is starting to really show.
And he's been in a lot of wars.
And if you look at the fights that he has won, Shogun on his way out, Hector Lombard really hasn't shown a lot here in the UFC. Tim Boach, a good fighter, but I wouldn't say one of the top of the food chain in that middleweight division. But Dan Henderson is getting his title shot because of, like you said, Frank, you were there that first year around. This is what Michael Bisping wants.
Yes.
This is what he wants. This is a revenge match for him.
When I saw Bisping knock out Rockhold, the first thing I said with the people I was with, I'm like, Henderson's going to be his fight. And they're like, no, they can't. I'm like, he wants it. He's talked about it the whole time. Henderson even said in the countdown showing that there was no reason for me to fight him before he had the belt. Because I beat him up so badly, what was the point? He had nothing to offer me. Now he has something to offer. As soon as I saw Rockhold go down, that's the first thing that popped in my mind. We're going to see this thing replayed.
And if you look back at that, Bisping talks about what an embarrassing night that was for him. Fans remind him constantly the humiliation of that. Hell, Dan Henderson's got a T-shirt with the image of him coming down for that second punch.
The second
because
punch.
That's the thing, is that's why it was so bad, is because Dan knocked him cold on the feet. And then he even admits he knew he was down and out, and he landed that extra shot to shut him up, so to say. Because they had a lot of heat on the Ultimate Fighter.
And Bisping has said that if he gets the shot, he's going to give the extra shot in this one.
And I'm not saying there's no shot there. I see, when we picked Bisping to actually beat Rockhold for that title, what was the one thing that Bisping had going for him? He didn't have to dwell on this for months on end.
Yeah, he had basically no camp.
No camp. It was 2 weeks out of the fight. All he had to do was make weight and show up. That was it. And that's what he needed here. He needs here. I think this is one of those fights where he cannot be dwelling on the fact that Dan Henderson knocked him silly.
Is it a big advantage that it's over in England, or can that actually work in Henderson's camp, that he's going to go, I got to knock him out, and maybe puts a little extra pressure on Bisping, not only the full camp, but he doesn't want to lose the belt in his home country in this rematch.
There's a lot of pressure on Bisping here, too. Also, because of the fact that you don't know what's going to happen if Henderson wins. I mean, Bisping
Let's be honest. The only way Henderson wins is if he lands that H-bomb.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That's the only way he wins.
And listen, they are two totally different fighters than they were the first time they met. And they've gone in opposite directions. Dan Henderson has I don't want to say his abilities are decreased, but he's not the same guy he used to be. He used to have that wrestling. Now all he has is that punch.
Yes.
If you saw in the weigh-ins yesterday, he's just like, he's hunched over. His body is distorted. He is crippled. And Bisping has looked amazing since moving over with Jason Perillo and his boxing coach.
Yes.
He looks much different. I don't see Dan Henderson winning this fight unless, like you say, Armando, it's that big, big punch. And really quickly, Vitor Belfort, What about the difference in TRT?
Oh,
that is a scary, scary image. Vitor Belfort 2 years ago to Vitor Belfort today. Scary looking.
Yeah. Musasi's going to kill him.
Yeah, I don't think Vitor wins this fight. He's a different fighter without TRT, just like Dan Henderson is.
Yeah, when I saw those pictures, the first thing I thought of was, I'd like to see Scott Steiner before and after.
There is no after. He's still tremendous.
No, but I mean before, when he was Rick Steiner's little brother when they first came off.
Before Big Papa Paul.
Before he went over to Japan to wrestle over there. It wasn't
nice.
Taking anything.
Wrestling. All right,
that's going to wrap it up for us here. It is the weekend kickoff. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Saturday.